Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without further ado, we haven't had a chance to sit across from each other for over a month. Who are you anyway? Good morning,
Good
Doc.
Morning, Zeb. What a beautiful day.
It is fantastic.
Farms are looking good. The grain harvest is going.
My, have you seen
looking
that
good.
Grain? My goodness sakes. Everything looks good, and I don't want to say that you look good because that wouldn't sound real good, but how you been?
Great. It's been a good summer.
What are we going to talk about this morning?
You know, I'm going to get into something that I find quite interesting. The vigilantes. Okay.
You know the Old West vigilantes?
Yes.
Yeah. It seems like every town had a group of vigilantes.
And we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
Now, just to warn our listeners, this first part is going to be a little bit graphic.
Oh, boy.
Okay?
Here we go.
Well, few men in the history of the Old West ever met a death as bad as that by a guy by the name of, in Montana, by the vigilantes in 1864. There was a bandit named Joe Pizanthia. Now, he was implicated in a number of murders and stage robberies, and Pizanthia was cornered in a cabin on a wooded hillside near the town of Bannock. Okay, so picture this. He's inside this cabin, okay? Well, two members of the vigilante party tried to force their way in. Pizanthia killed one and wounded the other in the hip. Now, at this point, the vigilantes got pretty upset. One of their guys had been shot, one was killed. And they were, I guess you would call it mob mad. But anyway, they procured a small howitzer from the town, blew several holes in the cabin walls.
Wait a minute. A howitzer?
A howitzer. Blew several holes in the cabin walls and followed this with a storm of small arms fire. Then they rushed the place. Inside, they found this guy badly wounded, obviously, but that wasn't enough. The man had been shot in the hip. The man who had been shot in the hip proceeded to empty his revolver into the outlaw.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, they still weren't totally satisfied, so the vigilante strung him up with a clothesline.
Now, wait. How many times has this guy been shot?
Well, we're getting into the hundreds now. Okay, I think he's probably pretty well dead.
But you know something about you, Doc? You never miss the obvious.
I don't miss it. You know, so here he is. He's been shot we don't know how many times. They hang him by with a clothesline.
And they hung him.
And so that's not all. They're not done. Then they set fire to the cabin and tossed what remained of Joe Pizanthia into the burning cabin.
These were not nice people.
They, you know, but this was a bad guy. He'd killed some people. He'd robbed, and you know, they figured, okay, anyway. So, you know, this penalty inflicted on Pizanthia was unusual. The savage impulse behind it was not. On a frontier where every advance towards prosperity and security was hard fought and hard won by citizens, they'd go to any lengths to protect what they had gained. You know, you're not just going to stand by and let people take your stuff, your cattle, your whatever. So the criminal elements, known or merely suspected, if they posed a threat to the stability of the communities, it constituted the authorities to... sometimes they were powerless to deal with the problem, the local sheriffs. We know that. But so determined individuals had to step in. And so from the plains of Texas to the wooded valleys of the Black Hills, ordinary men took on the role of vigilantes. So banded together in secret committees, unauthorized posses or mobs to eradicate the criminal menace. So some objects of their fury were hanged, some were shot or burned. Now, with or without a trial, others were beaten, some were flogged, and in grim application of an eye for an eye, a retribution, some actually got branded like cattle that they had tried to rustle.
Did they ever make a mistake in identity and go, oops?
Never. I'm just kidding. You got to know, there were some people that were probably totally innocent that ended up on the wrong end, being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So, but in one notorious instance, a vigilante force of wealthy cattlemen and their hired gunmen declared war on an entire Wyoming county in an attempt to root out rustlers and also discourage the spread of small ranching interests. Well, the invaders lost the Johnson County War, as it became known.
Yeah.
But only after a three-day battle with several hundred defending settlers, and that was just one episode. But it showed the vigilante action and what they could do. Now, the question of establishing a vigilante committee depended on the answers of the following questions. Is it lawful for citizens to slay robbers and murderers when they catch them? Question one. Or ought they to wait for a policeman when there are none, or put them in a penitentiary which has not even been built yet?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
you have a dilemma.
You do. You take care of things, and they did. So,
well, you know, these mob justice systems, if you will, I mean, isn't shooting a guy 100 times, isn't that, and I don't mean to sound trite when I say this, overkill?
Well, I guess, you know, the guy that he shot and killed, maybe he was a good friend, a good brother, a cousin, and they had no remorse about taking care
after
of the guy.
After the first 75 shots, you'd think that maybe he wasn't moving.
He was pretty good. Anyway, you know, at the fringes of the frontier, though, the vigilantes had a ready answer to these questions. They acted on their own because there were virtually no other law. And vigilantism also flourished in settled parts of the West, wherever peace officers and magistrates seemed overly concerned with due process. In other words, let's just get her done. Or whoever they simply proved ineffective against the wrongdoers. And indeed, some authorities welcomed the vigilantes, even incorporating them into law enforcement. So these alliances might be informal. You might actually see a lawman standing idly by while the vigilantes did their work.
Yeah, but now a lot of that was a lack of courage, too, because you're going one man against, what, 30, 40?
Right. And so for them to kind of sit back and say, okay, vigilantes, you're doing what needs to be done, even though maybe not quite legal. So this might be a good place for a break, Zeb.
Yeah, we don't want to have any more overkill. Okay, here we go. Hey, don't forget Zach and the rest of the group. What wonderful people. And I know that Dr. History knows these folks, and they are wonderful folks committed to serving you at Minnacashia Sales. 1321 East Main Street in Burley, right across from the airport. Number to call, 878-2091. All your great quality carpet, all your shingles, all your roofing material, all the upgrade of your windows with the Western Windows, save on your heating and cooling bills. I'm telling you what, just stop in and see what they have that you need. And that's Minnacashia Sales, 1321 East Main Street in Burley. And really good folks. Oh, by the way, too, Ken, they've got all those great Tartar Farm and Ranch gates and panels, too. The absolute best for your livestock operation. Minnacashia Sales in Burley. And right now, bang, 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 they're still shooting in the background. Here comes Dr. History.
All right. So like I say, sometimes the law enforcement kind of stood back and let things happen. In fact, that happened, for example, at Aurora, Nevada in 1864. After some 30 settlers in the area had been murdered by horse thieves and desperados, a vigilante committee rounded up several bandit leaders. As its members set about building a gallows, one distinguished citizen dashed off a telegram of protest to the territorial governor in Carson City, informing him of what was going to happen. Well, the governor in turn wired an inquiry back to the U.S. Marshal, Bob Howland, who was in Aurora at the time, and the marshal's reply was, "Everything quiet in Aurora. Four men to be hanged in 15 minutes.
In other words, quiet.
Governor, it's too late.
Where is Aurora?
You know, I'm not actually sure.
I'm not either. I think it's down someplace close to Reno, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But anyway, in 1861, the Colorado Territory actually conferred official status upon district vigilante committees, providing by law that each committee should be empowered to, quote, examine and report all criminal violations of the law. So, throughout the West, charters were granted to vigilante groups formally organized as, and you can call them a range association, a stock growers association, homesteaders protective association. You can call them different things. They were still a vigilante group.
Yeah. Yeah.
And many of them held annual meetings, they had reports, and quietly went about hanging and shooting outlaws.
And did they have kind of a picnic in the middle of the summer,
know,
too? Or
you know, maybe they had a, I don't know.
Okay. But, you know, really, the general thought, Ken, honestly, give me your opinion on this. In the days of the Old West, where law was not available, maybe by a call to 911, somebody had to do something.
Exactly. And I'm thinking that in most all of these cases, most I'm going to say, the parties were guilty of either murder or thieves, whatever. So I really think that they, in most cases, knew they had the guilty party.
Right.
So, but you know, most vigilantes were well-intentioned citizens, and their aim was to protect the Commonwealth. Some were men of wealth, and they wanted to ensure their private interests. They had little trouble finding hired guns to serve them, and gunfighters were the hardest to classify because, as a group, they were not really outlaws, but they weren't really lawmen either. And really, a lot of these kind of hired gun types people pursued both careers.
Did the law, if it had the numbers, let's say a sheriff deputized certain numbers of people, did the law try to go after the vigilante groups?
I don't think they ever went after the actual vigilante groups. I think they just kind of stood back a little, and here was a group.
Because these were basically neighbors, business owners, right, ranchers, etc.
And they were protecting their neighbors and their neighbors and their own interests.
Yeah.
So, but for the most part, these gunslingers were nameless, faceless individuals. They sought no notoriety, and they left without a trace. Once they received their blood money, so to speak, they just rode over the horizon, never to be seen again. They regarded their trade as a way of earning a day's pay, and they found no lack of employers. So in the early 1860s, the Overland Stage Line called upon freelance gunmen to help guard a newly opened route through the Rockies against thieves and horse thieves and robbers. But after a few shootings and lynchings, the stages went through without any problem.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Railroads everywhere in the West recruited professional gunslingers as private detectives to combat train robberies. Now, in Wyoming, for example, they authorized railroad conductors to make arrests, so kind of like a deputy railroad conductor, so to speak.
Hmm.
And in North Dakota, they designated all train men as peace officers. So they actually kind of had lawmen on the trains and the stages, but the stage line or the railroads also still had private armies to help protect the rain, trains.
Yeah.
Now, on the great public grazing lands from Texas to Montana, cattlemen who monopolized the land relied on hired guns to beat back challenges from sheep herders and homesteaders, or more commonly to protect their herds from rustlers. And we had that example right here with Diamondfield Jack, mm-hmm, and the sheep herders and, mm-hmm, that whole story.
Right.
But one reason large ranches brought in gunmen was the fact that ordinary cowboys would not always use their six-shooters against rustlers.
Well, ordinary cowboys in the real West, they couldn't hit their barn wall with a six-shooter.
No. The foreman of a big Wyoming ranch complained, quote, "The men working for the cattle outfits seemed to have an understanding among themselves that they were being paid so much a month for working, not fighting."
Yeah.
"And it was up to the owner or manager to do his fighting." So naturally, the owners or the managers preferred to delegate such work to professionals. And, you know, yourself, there's a lot of good cowboys out there. They didn't want to go out and shoot. And
well, and there is people in history like Tom Horn, the legend of Tom Horn, and
you
others.
You know what? We're going to get to that.
Oh, you? I'm sorry.
But, again, going back to TV, you know, you see them rounding up a bunch of cowboys that are cowboys heading out to shoot. No, that didn't happen to my ship. So, anyway, often range roaming gunfighters were recruited by the Stockman's Association and given titles like cattle detective or stock inspector.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. When rustlers were spotted making off with cattle, the gunmen would arrive, pounce on, and dispose of the culprits. And in most cases, they went unidentified, and even when caught, they could usually depend on the protection of their employers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the cattle detectives, they actually ranked among the best paid guns in the West. Their wages averaged between $100 and $150 a month.
That was pretty good.
That was really good. In fact, it was roughly three times as much as a typical deputy U.S. Marshal.
Really?
And in some places, the pay scale rose to $250 a month, plus bounties for obtaining the conviction of a horse thief or a cattle rustler. So, obviously, that kind of money brought some men of pretty impressive records and reputations.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to get to the one you just mentioned. But actually, Pat Garrett, the ex-sheriff of New Mexico who had killed Billy the Kid, was one of these guys.
Really?
One time. Former Texas Ranger, a guy named John Armstrong, the man who finally brought down John Wesley Hardin, was one of these guys. But, and we're going to get to this guy, the most celebrated of all the hired guns, the one who probably was paid the most money and the only one to win national fame was Tom Horn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was also one of the few who wound up on the gallows for practicing his trade.
But, you know, there's a lot of ifs in there, though. If he had done this, if he had done it this way, etc., they still, when he stepped on the gallows, they didn't know for sure if he had committed that murder.
And you're exactly right. I've read a whole book on it.
Yeah,
him.
I've got books over there on my shelf, too.
But picture this. Here he is, a kind of a swaggering, broad-shouldered, 6'2" cowboy out of Arizona. Tom Horn proved his gun hand as a deputy sheriff in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And then he worked as a roving gunman for the Pinkerton Detective Agency for 4 years. And his reported score of victims for that period was 17. While he worked for the Pinkertons.
Right.
And finally went off on his own as a cattle detective, turned up in Wyoming in 1894, denying he had killed anyone for the Pinkertons, and offered the same lethal services to Wyoming cattlemen. Well, his price varied, but he often charged $500 for each rustler he shot. And here's what he said, "Killing men is my specialty. I look at it as a business proposition, and I think I have a corner on the market."
Oh, my.
This guy was... He was cold-hearted.
Cold, yeah.
You know, he classed cattle thieves with wolves and coyotes and looked upon himself as a benefactor of society in destroying them, killing without feeling, and not even sure if the person was guilty. But he was admired and he was hired by the most reputable stockman in the state. On one occasion, his services as a range detective were even sought out by the governor of Wyoming.
Mm.
Now, they had a little meeting.
Uh-oh.
And the governor was pretty nervous about this meeting, and Tom Horn, he was just cool as can be, told him what it would cost him and one thing and another, and at the last minute, the governor kind of backed out, got cold feet, and said, I don't think I want to do business with you, Tom Horn, and they left it at that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, despite widespread knowledge of his death-dealing activities, Tom Horn remained at large until 1901 when he was accused of shooting a 14-year-old boy from ambush.
Right, right.
The victim was the son of a small rancher who had committed the heresy of introducing sheep into the cattle territory. Now, Horn may have killed the boy by mistake because the boy was big for his age. He was wearing his father's hat and coat and riding his father's horse, and the killing took place in the dim light of dawn. So, nevertheless, Tom Horn killed somebody, even if it was the wrong person,
right,
and killed this young man.
Right.
Well, soon after his arrest, Horn made a second mistake that proved fatal. Although no one had witnessed the shooting of the rancher's son, a deputy U.S. Marshal got Horn drunk, then drew him into making a confession, which a concealed stenographer was writing down what Horn was saying.
Oh, he was hiding. What deception.
Yeah. Well, after Horn sobered up, he swore he'd never said that, obviously,
yeah.
Which you would do. But anyway, he was convicted, and on the strength of his own evidence, and he went to the gallows. A Wyoming cattleman reported, quote, "He died without squealing, to the great relief of many very respectable citizens of the West." In other words, he didn't rat on who hired him to do this, which, again, were probably some very prominent, respectable cattlemen or whatever in that area.
Yeah. You know, I've seen the movie, I think, I'm trying to remember, didn't Steve McQueen play the part of Tom Horn in one movie? I think he did.
You know, I'm not sure.
I think he did before he passed away. And there's been other outtakes or remakes, if you will, of the life and times of Tom Horn. But it all boiled down to, yes, he was a killer, but did he kill that boy?
Well, I just finished that book not too long ago. And there were the sheriff and some detectives that found some footprints. They found different people that had seen Tom Horn. There was enough circumstantial, I guess, evidence that, in my mind, there's no doubt that he's the one that killed the young boy.
Really?
That's my opinion.
Well, then it's done. I mean, there's no more discussion of Dr. History said he did it.
Let's hang that guy.
Okay, yeah. Shoot him 100 times.
Yep, so that's the vigilantes. And
oop, sorry, you know, about that.
They did what
paper's
they
fallen.
Okay, they did what they had to do. And, yes, they may have been one or two or three that were totally innocent, just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
You know, the Old West, as it was and how it's been perpetrated and everything, it's amazing that more innocent people weren't killed.
It really is true. You just ride into the wrong place, like, say, and you're riding the wrong color horse,
yeah,
and the wrong kind of hat, and, hey, this is the guy that did it. String him up.
But, you know, boy, those times, like you said, were dangerous. There were groups of people that just absolutely, they got out of bed in the morning or out of their bedroll, and they lived to hurt people and rob and pillage and steal. It had to be stopped.
It did. And if you think about the peaceful citizens, the homesteaders, the ranchers, that just wanted to make a living, they took the law into their hands, and I think in a lot of cases, they helped drive out the criminal element that was in their area.
Woe betide the innocent cowboy or drifter or whatever that was going through the area at the same time.
Yeah, you could be totally innocent,
yeah,
just be in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So
that's a kind of a chilling story. What was the name of the guy that they shot 100 times?
Joe.
It was
Pisanthia.
Kind of like pistachio.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mentioned Diamond Field Jack.
Yeah.
And I was going to mention,
yeah,
today, for those that haven't been able to listen to all the stories, just go to dr-history.com, and we've got over 100 stories on there. And one not
we've got that many on there now?
We do, on our,
wow,
webpage. So you can go back and listen to the one about Diamond Field Jack. And, well, of course, any of about 100 stories now.
Right.
And just go there. And I appreciate the comments that I get and the support. So I try to always answer emails that come to me from supporters. So,
you know, I just really relish Tuesdays and having you on the air talking about days of the Old West and what happened and everything. Not to change the subject, I've only got less than a minute left, but our good friend Ray Bagby out there at Declo finishing that Concord Stagecoach, we ought to get him and you on the same program and talk about transportation in the Old West.
That would be great.
Let's do it.
He's an expert at it.
Oh, he is excellent.
Yeah.
But you did it again.
Thank you, Zeb. I'm glad to have you back here. Glad to be out here.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.